Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happy hour! Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scrady. Does the name Forrest Wall mean anything to you guys?
He's a great actor, I think.
Great actor?
Nope.
Nope. Doesn't mean anything to you, Chris.
He's a celebrity chef.
Forrest Wall.
He has a Netflix show.
That's not all.
No, he could be the starting left fielder on opening day for your San Diego Padres. I don't think that's really probable, but the Padres have indeed signed Forrest Wall to a minor league contract.
Former
Forrest Wall was a first-round draft choice of the Rockies in 2014. Took him quite a while to get to the big leagues. He made it in 2023 with the Braves. Last year he played for the Braves and the Marlins. Not a whole lot, but he did play some. He does hold, in 45 career at-bats, a .311 career batting average.
There you go.
So he's kind of like, he's very similar to your dad, I would say. .311 career batting average. Forrest Wall, the newest Padre. He is an outfielder.
There you have it.
Hopefully we'll hear from him again. He'll make a little noise. You never can tell.
I got to ask you guys, like, when you hear about a former first round pick, because during the Scraby Show on Friday, or the Chronicles, whatever you want to call it, on Friday.
I like that you're finally coming around.
Because more people are calling it that. there was a fake trade out there, and I wanted to bring it up because it wasn't like something that I thought the Padres would ever do. It was Michael King for three guys on the Tigers, and one of those guys was Spencer Torkelson, who was the number one overall pick. How long does that, in your mind, last? Like, how long can you say, hey, we get Spencer, he's still got that first-round pick pedigree?
I think it lasts longer in the minor leagues.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
The organization will, understanding that you were once a first-round pick.
They're going to give you a bunch of shots.
They're going to give you more shots. Because the reality is, typically most first-rounders are great at first-rounders across the league. So they all will be in somewhat agreement that this kid's a first-rounder. But once you get to the big league.
Big league, you better just get it done, right?
It doesn't matter.
I always felt that way about the NFL. You can be a number one pick, but when they start training camp, you get a piece of tape across your helmet with your name on it.
That's right.
And it doesn't say first rounder. You're just one of the guys there. You got to make the team, get the job done.
That was always the thought, you know, coming up through the minor leagues. First, for one, two, three rounds, you're going to get more opportunity than most, even if you messed up. But once you get, you know, past the double A level, it stops mattering as much. You know, you got to actually put down the actual work You got to put down, get the actual results you're looking for. And then once you get to big leagues, it truly doesn't matter anymore.
I have no idea what makes people think that the Padres would trade Michael King for Spencer Torkelson and two guys. I don't know who the other two guys.
You just two guys that we don't know.
A catcher and then a relief pitcher. People,
what we do know about everybody now
is that they're all full of crap.
Will write and say anything. That's true. Basically, that's true. I can't even exclude anybody no more.
No, that's right. That's right.
Everybody is out to get the click.
Well, he got my click.
He got you.
And he got many other clicks because I read it to everyone. Here, I'll give you those guys right now.
Well, while he's finding those guys out, we will have Xander Bogaerts back at shortstop. We will, at least at the start of spring, Jake Cronenworth will also move. He'll go to second base.
Spencer Torkelson will play first base after he's acquired from the Tigers.
It was Ty Madden, a starter. Pitcher, and then a catcher, first baseman, Josue Briceño.
How about you give me Jack Flaherty and Spencer Torkelson?
No, he's back.
He just signed with the Tigers, so let's get him.
How about giving us the green kid that you got over in Detroit? You give us him, we can throw you Michael King, and we call it even.
Yeah.
Michael King, Jack Flaherty, Torkelson.
Green. Give us all three.
I want someone to pay me to come up with ridiculous trades.
Well,
like
just
this.
Write them and just write it and tweet it out. I mean, you'll be doing the same thing
though
that everybody else
is
doing.
I guess you're right.
You know, I mean, somebody's going to be right at some point, but it's hard to put much stock in a lot of it right now.
It is.
I mean, I'm honestly,
it's just speculation.
Honestly, if Dylan Cease ends up getting traded, my number one reaction to that is going to be surprise. Despite the fact he's been mentioned so many times, I still don't necessarily think that that's what they, you know, want to do.
Strengthen
one position and weaken another is not a way to get better.
Yeah.
And as Harold Reynolds said, you're going to strengthen in the outfield and weaken at pitching? That doesn't make sense. So, you know, I don't know that I'm in a hurry to trade Dylan Cease, but we'll see.
I don't know that they're in a hurry to trade any of those guys.
Yeah.
But you're trying to find the best way possible to, you know, get this roster filled out in a way that is competitive.
Got to definitely do that.
What were we talking? Were we talking about something in USA? Were we talking any USA sports here recently?
USA. I don't like Team USA.
Yeah. Did we say anything?
Well, what sport?
I don't know, but somebody got to
pick
text.
One. Curling?
Well, we talked figure skating Team USA last week. Was it today?
Where we want to go.
Never mind. Go ahead.
That's not where we want to go. Chris, did you have any thoughts on Michael King agreeing with the Padres? You were out on Friday, and that's when it happened. So
I'm excited.
All right.
I mean, I want to make sure he stays. Like I just said, I don't want any of these guys going. I was happy about that.
Okay, great.
Commissioner Roger Goodell met with
the media
today.
That's where I was
going
to go next.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's where I thought we were going to, because he said a lot of things. It was his yearly State of the Union address.
Once again, Chris has not listened in the break, but okay.
Well, I know what you said in the break, but we have 7 minutes still to fill.
What did you say in the break?
I said Goodell at...
Yeah, I know what you want to do, but we're not going to do it. We were out of stuff to talk about.
We ran out.
That's why they pay you guys the big bucks.
Well, and I'm going, and I made a decision.
The big bucks too. We shift, and now we're going to Roger Goodell.
No critical thinking from you two.
Oh, listen to you.
No critical thinking.
How come the mic only doesn't work when you're out on remote?
Okay, good point.
Exactly. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, anyway, I think the thing, he said a few things. One was about diversity and DEI. And this is, you know, a very touchy subject, right? With the things that are going on in our country right now. Goodell said, quote, our policies have been designed to be well within the law, well within the practice. There are no quotas in our system. This is about opening that funnel and bringing the best talent into the NFL. He was asked about the Rooney Rule and all of that.
Right.
So, and then that's kind of a yearly topic. But I think maybe, you know, it seems to land a little bit more with what's happening out there. The other thing he was asked about is Scraby's. In fact, I think Scraby asked the question.
He flew down there and got this
honestly,
one.
He was honestly asked about the perception that the Chiefs get benefits in officiating and the theory that the NFL is scripted.
Yes.
Imagine actually asking the commissioner.
I can't imagine asking that, but... God bless the soul who decided he
somebody
was going to be that
Somebody went
person.
For it.
Who could we have a publication that asked? Do you know who asked that? Scrape, you usually are on this.
That exact question? Yeah. No, but I'll find it out.
See what you can come up with. Goodell said, and I'm going to give him credit because I think he answered it about as well as you can. Said, I think those theories are things that happen in social media. As you say, it's not your theory, but it is out there. Nobody wants it to be their theory. I think it reflects a lot of the fans' passion. That's a good angle to go with.
That's a great angle.
It really is. I think it's also a reminder how important officiating is. The men and women that do it are outstanding. They have the highest possible standards. It's ridiculous for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, it's something we always continue to work on. That's really all he can say about it. I mean, yeah, I did. I called Cleet Blakeman and told him to move the ball back. That would be a classic
you
comment.
Guys, we heard the audio last week. Yeah, I told you. Week. I found that. I think it's ridiculous to ask him if it's scripted, for sure. But I think as the commissioner of the league, you have to address things that your fans are thinking.
He does have to address
about.
It. I don't think he minded addressing it.
He didn't, and he handled it better. He handled it really well. He didn't call his fan base idiots.
Yeah,
for
no, this is stupidity.
Right.
Next question.
Right.
Because it is something that concerns people at the moment, you know? He also talked about the 18-game season being a possibility. We know fans love football. They want more football, but we have to be incredibly sensitive with the balance and how we deal with that. Yeah, that part's a bunch of bull.
Like, you want the 18-game season.
Just put it in.
Just say it.
Put it in already.
You don't intend to balance anything.
The notion that you care about the health of these players is lip service.
And with that,
I recognize my fault in this. I'm pointing to myself.
Yeah.
I tune in every Sunday.
Yes, you consume.
I consume it. Even though I know it isn't probably a good thing that they're playing these extra games, I need it. However, I'm not also on stage telling everybody, yes, we want the 18-game season, but we also have to balance, you know, everything. No, you're not balancing
anything. And now we have Tuesday night football, and you play on Sunday. You're going to have to play on Tuesday.
Right.
Our fans have really wanted that. But we have to balance that.
We got to balance the concern. The Chiefs and the Texans, I believe, played 3 games in 11
days.
They did.
Which is crazy.
That's right. Nuts.
You're just asking for
that is
more
nuts.
Injuries.
That's nuts.
That's not fair schedule-wise. But I've been saying this for years. You guys have been telling me I'm crazy for years. The NFL is getting too big.
Saturated?
It's too big. There's going to be too many games. He was asked about an international Super Bowl. He said, yeah, I could see the NFL getting an international franchise and then having a Super Bowl.
It won't get the support.
By the way, Scrape.
I think that's where Americans draw the line.
Tony will take us into break. Tony will take us into break. But before he does, I just want you to let me know the next time you wake up on a Sunday morning in the fall, have nothing planned, but don't touch the TV to watch any football. I'd like to know when that happens.
It's never.
It's
never going to happen.
No. Well, do players get paid for those extra games? Like, if they went to 17, do they get an extra week of pay?
I'm not sure how NFL stuff works.
I don't know how
that
works either. But
I think they would get an extra pay. I mean, their salary is just drawn out over 18 games.
Yeah, I can't see the players liking that.
Like, we're going to need to renegotiate.
But I don't think 18 games is necessary.
It's not necessary.
Exactly.
It doesn't stop them.
Like, it takes less.
17 games wasn't necessary.
It takes less pressure off of teams to actually have to play well during the regular season because you have so many games that you can lose and still make the playoffs.
Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe 10 or 15 minutes from announcing today's biggest fan. Stay tuned. Hopefully you've signed up for that chance to wind up in a Padre Petco Park suite with 20 of your closest friends for a ball game this season. Get signed up. 973fanse.com/biggest fan.
973thefanse.com/biggest fan.
Right.
I thought I yawned, and so I, like, maybe my ears popped, so I didn't hear you say the. So that's why I didn't say anything.
It's because he didn't.
No.
Chris is gonna, he's going to hurl something at my head. He's gonna
punch you right in your jaw. No, the good thing is I don't hear most of it. this half hour segment is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Ugh. But Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Speaking of AI, we talked about Kendrick Lamar winning the record of the year last night at the Grammys, much to Tony's delight. One of the competing bands with Kendrick Lamar for record of the year was the Beatles.
Oh, AI.
AI.
Yeah.
They made a new song. I don't even quite know how that works. Somebody out there is a little, you know, more in tune with it can tell me, but
they can use elements to help
crazy.
With the song.
Yeah,
and they are now saying that's up for awards.
It was up for best record of the year.
Do they realize the that, like, those guys don't actually sing anymore?
Paul McCartney sings.
Paul McCartney still sings.
Okay, well, the other two.
I think he's still on it. I think it's the other. You know,
this
Beatles.
Paul McCartney was on it, and I think Ringo Starr was on it, and then they AI George Harrison and John Lennon.
I mean, I know how they do it. They take all of their voice. They probably just run all of their lyrics that they've ever sang through, and then they can make that voice. But I gotta hear
that
song.
Creepy though, for sure.
That would be a little creepy to me. But anyway,
you should not be eligible for an award.
I kind of feel the same.
When real human beings are actually putting out music, and then AI, like, what?
Yeah,
no. Our world is going to hell in a handbasket.
You call Chapel Roan a real human being?
Who?
I'm just kidding.
I don't even know who
she
that
was.
Is.
One of the nominees for best record as well.
Oh God,
she's a little out there.
What's her name?
I'm a fan. I actually have a couple of her songs.
What's her name?
Chapel Roan, R-O-A-N. She won an award last night. She's a new. I think she won best new artist.
I think I saw her last night.
I think she won best new artist. So she's kind of an up and comer.
You know, I'm getting way too old because I've never heard of Chapel Roan in my life.
How about me knowing?
That is crazy,
right?
My guy's crazy. Said, "Wow."
I mean, I've never seen this woman in my life.
All right, here's a story that I'd rather not get too deep into, but it's going to be embarrassing to the New Orleans Saints for sure. And I'm just going to have to read this because having opinions about this can only get everyone into trouble and upset people. But apparently, in New Orleans right now, a lot of the church leaders there, Catholic priests, are getting a lot. There's a lot of issues going on with charges of. I want to read it right, so let me read this. Saint in the public relations campaign to mitigate fallout from the clergy sexual abuse crisis. That's how it's termed. Clergy sexual abuse crisis. Apparently, this is going on in New Orleans. And apparently now, the Associated Press has uncovered emails shedding a new light on the New Orleans Saints organization foray into trying to help cover up some of this stuff that's going on in New Orleans. Again, why did I bring this up? Now I'm stuck trying to explain it to you.
All I can think of right now.
It's very simple. There's an issue, and the Saints are way more involved than they ever wanted to be known to be involved. They tried to keep this very hush-hush.
I found the story very complicated.
What exactly
it is complicated,
are
and
they
that's
involved
why I'm
in?
The Saints, apparently it had been known that they had provided some, quote, minimal assistance to the church to help defend a lot of the claims against the church. But the Associated Press now has obtained other emails that really don't back up those assurances of minimal assistance.
So they, a lot of assistance.
A lot of assistance, apparently, from the Saints. And apparently the owner of the Saints, who is Gail Benson, is very much Catholic, according to the stories, and had interest in trying to protect the Catholic Church from the public relations nightmare that was ensuing.
Ah, yes, I'm reading some of these.
It's really difficult to put all this out there without trying to keep out
basically,
opinionated.
Am I right in saying that
religion
the Saints
is
tried to suppress information about the Catholic Church?
I'll just read you one of the revealed moments, as it's called in the article. Saints executives were so involved in the church's damage control that a team spokesman briefed his boss on a 2018 call with the city's top prosecutors hours before the church released a list of clergymen accused of abuse. The call, the spokesman said, allowed us to take certain people off the list.
Anyway, that's just one. This is a tremendously long story. Yeah. If it interests you in any way, ESPN has it, and I'm sure other places. But
that would be funny. But
if you're the Saints, though, this is the last thing you want to be hooked up in. And evidently, the Gail Benson ownership has not gone well there.
Pelicans and
she
Saints.
Also owns the Pelicans. Her husband, Tom Benson, passed on. She's now in charge. And this is just another kind of black eye for the New Orleans organization.
More, I would say, the person who probably is second guessing everything is the new coach that they just hired not that long ago, wasn't it?
Got a new coach?
I don't think they got one yet.
Maybe that's why they haven't got one.
That could be
true.
Was
it the GM they got?
I haven't heard of any hiring.
Well, maybe this is
why. I think
why.
Everybody's jumping off the ship,
maybe
potentially.
This is,
yeah.
Maybe this is why.
Well, a lot of people said they weren't interested in
the
job.
The Jags, huh?
But Cliff Kingsbury, a lot of people said they didn't want to work
for the Saints. Yeah,
they pulled
their names off of this. Now that I think about it, you're right.
Right. Glad I brought it up. Yeah.
I knew that was going to be tough.
Yeah, I did too, but I decided to foray into it.
You
want
to talk about
people what's going
you
on.
You want to talk about Justin Tucker now?
That might be easier.
Because we at least understand the story.
Well,
but he's now being accused by 10
yeah,
women.
More people.
The numbers
came out
going
over
up.
The weekend, yeah.
At what point do the Ravens have to say something? They said they're looking into it, but
well, I think to be fair, they have to look into it before they can say anything.
I agree for sure.
How they can't just immediately respond to the charges?
No, I agree
without
with
at
that.
Least you know.
Are you? Do you
delving
agree
into
yeah, but
it?
Like what
like
if? What if
week, I feel like last
you don't
week
sound
you were,
like you agree with
you
that. You sound like you just
him,
want him to you know,
suspend it,
flogged in a public you know center.
I'm trying not to assume things until the real information comes out these days. It just is eerily familiar to what happened with Deshaun Watson.
I know. We got to be careful with the eerily familiar. We've seen these
That's
eerily.
Why I'm not assuming.
So let's let the information come out. It doesn't look good. We'll say that. He's got the numbers up to 10. It started out at what, 4 or 5?
If 4 more people come out, say, no. Do the Ravens have to be like, all right, now we're suspending him? Which doesn't make any sense because he's not playing
anymore.
You're
innocent.
I don't know that the Ravens have to come out, but the Cleveland Browns have to show interest in him immediately.
They're going to sign him. They're like, hey, Justin, we have a home for you over here.
Yeah,
we're also going to give you $200 million in fully guaranteed money.
Yeah. Oh. Shouldn't joke about these matters. I know that. All right. Off we go from this segment. How's the chat doing? Is everybody upset with me, or did I survive it?
No one's saying anything, actually.
I survived it.
You survived it.
Good. More from Saturday's Fan Fest when Gwen and Chris continues. Scraby's trying to get hip. He's playing the music of the Grammy Award winner for Best New Artist. Chapel Roan.
Yeah.
Chapel Roan.
I'm not sure.
This is not a song I recognize.
Someone told me to put in Hot to Go.
Okay.
For Chapel Roan.
Well, there it is. Her biggest hit is called...
That's not Taylor Swift.
I don't know what it
could be confused for a Taylor Swift song. She's good, though. I might check out some more.
No, you're not. You're lying.
Pink Pony Club.
I'll look for that.
Pony Club.
Can you imagine Chris rocking out the Pink Pony Club as he's walking Kylie?
Think you'd like that song.
All right, I'm going to look for it.
Think you would like it.
Tony, we got something to read.
We do. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Matt Lowry of San Diego. Give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you, your friends. For a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padre game later this season, remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. That's Matt Lowry. Give us a call. When I read that earlier...
That's Pink Pony Club. That's the beginning of it. Are you going to play the whole song?
Is this the young lady that was up for a Grammy?
Yes.
This is the gal who won Best New Artist.
What's her name again?
Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
I can't believe you're going to play this whole song.
He's not. I'm going to need you to turn that down real quick.
Tony would rather hear some of the Record of the Year by Kendrick Lamar.
I get a little nervous because...
I would be nervous too. I wouldn't put that one on.
You wouldn't put that one on?
I was thinking while I was reading Matt Lowry's name of Mike Lowry. You know who he's what character that's in? What character that's from?
Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
No.
Bad Boys.
Is that Will Smith's character?
I think it is Will Smith's character.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in the first one, you know, when Martin Lawrence is having to take care of the witness,
yes.
He's pretending to be Mike Lowry.
That's right. I need to go back and watch those movies because they are so funny.
Good flicks.
I love them.
We will have some Joe Musgrove for you shortly. It was really nice to catch up with a lot of the players. As we said earlier, it's a different feel when you get around the actual team versus us three in here, y'all in the chat, everything we're reading, all of our thoughts. It was just a different energy at Petco Park. And I'll be frank, I didn't necessarily expect it to be, what was the word I used earlier?
Rational?
Rational. Very rational.
It was. I mean, all the fans I talked to, they were concerned about Profar not being back. They were concerned about...
For sure.
Not so much concerned about Kim. Sorry, buddy. Not many people were concerned about that, but...
Which is a surprise, because, I mean,
He had his own chant.
Yeah.
Chris, are you just going to start randomly chanting Ha-Sung Kim in the stadium to...
No. I never ran rapidly. When the Rays come to town, you mean? Or
no, I just never mind.
That was Chris was never really in the crowd.
I thought
that
he was a Ha-Sung Kim chant guy.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
What?
My bad.
He definitely was.
Yes, I sit in the press box and I chanted Ha-Sung Kim at the.
Chris had a lot of issues with his bass, right? Just say the least.
I did. I never chanted Ha-Sung. him.
No.
Okay.
But I do think fans, regardless, were very excited because...
Why did you ask me that? I missed it.
I think I've made too many jokes today, and Chris is upset.
I didn't. To be fair, I didn't know.
It seemed like
you
it came out of left field.
I'm pretty sure at some point last year, Chris has chanted Ha-Sung Kim before.
Chat, do y'all remember that? Because I don't remember that at all.
The chant?
Chat.
Oh,
Do y'all remember that? I don't remember that.
Because it didn't happen.
All right. Maybe I'm making that up in my head. I probably am.
You very well could. NBA trade deadline. It's a couple days from now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
February 6th.
So
we got 2.5 days.
Two and a half days.
You have 2.5 days to acquire yourself a big man.
We need a big man. Anybody offering a big man out there, Lakers could use one.
I'm offering.
What you offering?
Vukovic. You don't want him.
Yeah, it's because you want Reeves for him. So I do. I think that's a fair trade.
Is Vukovic good?
He can play.
He's pretty good. He's at the end of his career, but he gets 15 and 10 almost automatically.
And he's some
usually
size.
Usually a little more than that.
He's some size, too. You just need somebody in there to at least
lean
pretend to contest a shot.
Now, the Lakers, they don't have a center anymore? Is that
true?
They
have a center. They just don't have enough. They have one.
So how are they? I guess, when's their next game?
Tuesday. Clippers. Tomorrow.
The Lakers are not positioned to win the title after this trade, but... if they can get themselves a solid big man or two in there, I think they would be
a
legit contender. It's funny, though, that the odds now have the Lakers as the third choice to win the West. Bettors have gone crazy at the acquisition of Luka Doncic, thinking the Lakers are now running away with it.
This is why bettors
are just not very smart, because the team that got really better at the moment is actually Dallas.
This is why bettors lose money consistently gambling, is because a trade like this happens. And if you know anything about basketball at all, you know that you kind of need a big man, somewhat of a big man, to have long-term success. The Lakers literally don't have one. And so, although you get Luka and LeBron on the same team, no way should they be their odds gone up to win a NBA championship versus the other way. So,
this was a big deal. Because when I saw Chris texting on Saturday night, I was like, what happened?
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to try and get Tony, but I knew I couldn't.
He was trying to surprise me with the
news. I wanted you to pick up your phone and go, Luca, what does this mean? And then look it up yourself. But you
Chris,
already knew.
Kyle on the chat says, did you guys talk or get Chris's opinion on LaVine to the Kings? They're a Kings fan. They're asking.
Kings fan. We talked about it earlier. He's having a great year. I don't know that the Kings have what it takes, though, this year. I think they got DeRozan kind of too late.
He said he's on the back
and
end.
I think trading De'Aaron Fox and replacing basically with LaVine, I don't see an equal trade there.
They only trade De'Aaron Fox because he hadn't shown a willingness to sign the extension.
Right.
So they wanted
but
to
I
get
think
something.
They lose something.
Yeah, no, they definitely lose something.
Yeah,
for sure. All right.
Can you say the name one more time? There are people asking about the biggest fan name.
Matt Lowry. Matt Lauer of NBC Morning Show.
Yeah.
Infamy.
I haven't heard of Matt since
then.
Yeah.
He disappeared after
he had that button that closed the door in his office. Step into my office, hit the button, and it's going to latch behind you.
Yeah, that's a little scary. Yes. Matt Lowry. 833-288-0973. All right. We heard from our guy, Joe Musgrove, this weekend. Here's your chance to hear.
Here
I think
he
Joe's
is.
Here.
Here he is.
How you doing, baby?
Hey, Joe. Thank you.
Mr. Joseph Musgrove in the building.
Give him a round of applause, everyone.
What's up? It's not a bad setup right here, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all. How you doing, Joe?
I feel great, man. Yeah, really good. Excited.
I heard you say on the stage today, 2 months away from throwing a baseball.
Yeah.
What are those 2 months going to be like for you?
A lot of patience, you know. I've been working really hard, man. Been really diligent with the rehab. The strengthening stuff has all been, you know, right on par. I've kind of hit every checkpoint with ease. And that was something that was told to me early on is like, you know, really give it the time that you need on the front end. You don't throw for 6 months regardless. So, you know, don't try to go out and be a hero and get yourself thrown in 4 months. Just, you know, do all the rehab, hit all the checkpoints, and then, you know, maybe make up some time on the back end, you know, once I'm consistently throwing. So, Strength feels really good. It's just, you know, getting the shoulder moving again and back in, like, certain ranges before I start playing catch.
For those who may not know, I don't think it was ever going to be in question whether Joe was going to attack his rehab the way he has already started to attack it. This is one of the most hard and working people I've ever been around. But this is new territory for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a guy who I consider well-educated on anything he's about to walk through.
Yeah.
What was your education like leading up to surgery? I know you must have talked to a billion people. You don't leave stones unturned.
Yeah.
What was that like, getting yourself prepared for this surgery?
Yeah, I got a notebook full of pages of you know, conversations, phone calls, doctor visits. I, you know, vetted 3-4 different doctor options. Called everybody I knew that had, you know, had Tommy John, called guys that had it twice, and, you know, what the difference was the second time around compared to the first. So
this is your first, correct?
My first one, yeah. So I feel like I've done, you know, every bit of the homework that I could. I feel like I was as prepared and as, you know, educated on, you know, the process as possible. And now it's just, you know, putting the, you know, the lessons that I've learned from other people and their experiences along with, you know, the feel and the trust that I have for myself.
We're talking to Joe Musgrove here on 97.3 The Fan. And Joe, last year you called into our show.
And
you played a prank on me. And it was a really good prank because my heart stopped a beat for a second. And it still does. But I appreciate you doing that. This is the first time we've actually been able to talk about it.
A little locker room talk. It's all good, baby.
I told these folks, his eyes almost popped out of his head when when Joe got on that phone.
Well, yeah, when I'm told I can't come into the clubhouse, it's a little concerning, considering, you know, I'm not that crazy of a guy. But
no,
anyway.
You're good by us down there. You're
okay,
welcome
good.
Whenever.
All right. I just wanted to ask you about the mental side of things, because it's got to be hard knowing you're coming into the year, you're not going to pitch.
Right.
But you still have to keep working. How do you stay in that zone?
I think, you know, it's a little bit of a relief. It's a chance to kind of step back from, you know, the constant mentality and approach of, like, being on edge and getting ready and prepared and just the stresses that, you know, any ball player deals with on the day-to-day of, like, mechanics feeling out of whack, or as spring gets closer, maybe you haven't hit the checkpoints that you want to hit, or things aren't, you know, as consistent as you like it to be. So not having to deal with those stresses has been super nice. You know, I've been able to focus on life a little bit, got engaged, you know,
congrats.
Got a new home, made some moves. So it's been really good. And I think, you know, once I had the surgery, I knew what was ahead of me and, you know, how long the road was. And, you know, it took a little while to get to a good headspace, but I feel like I'm in a great spot now. And, you know, I was saying earlier out on the stage, you know, I'm not claiming to be Superman, but I really believe in my ability to heal and, you know, my ability to, you know, to push my body and get it ready. So I'm preparing and shooting for a return in the postseason at some point. And if, you know, we're a month away from that and I realize it's a long shot, I'm completely fine with, you know, sitting out and, you know, preparing for 26. But I keep myself busy, man. I've really tried to be an extension of the coaching staff and, you know, provide, you know, assistance and help and, you know, experience and, you know, things that help these younger guys and, you know, some of our guys that are transitioning to a starting role, you know, help their careers grow. So, you know, keeping myself busy and keeping tasks, you know, to have, you know, at my fingertips, things to work on has been a good relief for me.
I mean, I think first you can have that belief when you put the kind of work in that you do, that your body's going to heal right, and just trusting it. You talked about being an extension of the coaching staff. I would guess that that's going to be even more so this year with you not being able to actually do the physical part.
Yeah.
Is there something that you've tried to do this offseason to kind of get you into that mode in terms of being that extension? Because the reality is, although your arm might be useless in 25 this year, your mind's not going to be.
Right.
And there's still a lot of guys, especially the ones who may be vying for your spot in the rotation that could lean on you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's my job to help prepare these guys the best I can. And, like, guys like Waldron, guys like Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, you know, those are guys that are, you know, have really good stuff and are not far away from, you know, being, you know, middle of the rotation to top half, you know, starting pitchers.
Yeah.
So trying to share some things. And that's something we talk about all the time in the clubhouse is, like, you know, you bring something to the table on the field, you know, every day. That's kind of what brings you here and gets you to this level. But, you know, days that you're not playing as a starting pitcher, that's, you know, a majority of our days. You pitch once every 5 days. So making sure you bring something to the table is, you know, something we always talk about. So even though, like you said, I'm not going to be physically on the field pitching, I got to find a way to contribute. And a lot of that's just been, you know, better communication with the staff. And I'm really excited this year to be able to sit in more of the coaches' meetings and see how they game plan and how they, you know, come about their approach to certain teams. And I feel like when I come back in 26, I'm going to have a whole plethora of knowledge of things that I hadn't experienced before to add into my game. So.
I just have to say this. I play with a lot of guys, and not all of them are going to take as serious as Joe is taking this part serious, which is getting into those coaches meetings. Coaches are here a lot earlier than the players.
Are they, man?
Especially during spring training. So the fact that he's going to be willing to do that, I think that's awesome, man. That's what separates you from a lot of these other guys out there.
Right. We're talking to Joe Musgrove here, Padres pitcher, 97.3 The Fan. And I have to ask from the fan perspective, because Tony, every day on the show, whenever a team in the National League West signs a new big-name player, all of us fans are kind of like, why? And Tony says, it doesn't matter. They still have to go out and play the games. Right. When you see that happen, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different perspective as a player. You know, our job is, our goal doesn't change regardless of whether we add, and that stuff's, you know, out of our control. So you never want to sit here going into an offseason saying, you know, we're going to be fired up if we get this guy and this guy, and you know, not if we don't get this guy. So you look at our team, you know, and a lot of people see all the moves being made and don't see us making moves, and it seems like a mismatch in the division. You know, all these other teams are adding, but you look at our roster. I mean, we spent a lot of money over the last handful of years and committed a lot of guys to be here long term, and the value in having those guys return every year and continue to build that relationship and that growth is every bit as valuable as adding a new free agent. So
love that.
I think with the progress we made last year, and you guys will never understand how we feel. I'm sure you can see a little bit of it on the field and how we carry ourselves and, you know, the camaraderie and stuff, but you'll never truly understand just how close that group got last year. And although we didn't, you know, achieve the ultimate goal of winning the World Series, we grew a ton as a team. We grew a ton as, you know, a unit. And I'm super excited that we got most of these guys coming back. We got the whole staff coming back, and we can kind of pick up where we left off.
Well, last one for me, because you kind of just hit on it, and I think it's so important. The continuity, right? This is, what, year maybe 3-4 of this nucleus being together. How much of an impact can that have on a team, having guys who have been in the locker room together for so long?
Yeah, a ton. And, you know, like, Schulte's big thing is shared experiences. You know, we got guys from all over the league, some guys that are new and have experienced things that most rookies don't, and some guys that have been around 10-plus years that have, you know, been in championship locker rooms and been around the best of the best. So sharing those experiences with each other and helping each other grow along the way, not just, you know, providing, you know, assistance and, you know, coaching, but like sharing experiences and helping guys grow a little bit through, you know, what you've been through is a big thing for us.
Joe Musgrove, ladies and gentlemen, this is a good one we got here, man. Joe, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Pleasure, man.
Quick healings and enjoy the rest of your day,
sir.
Man.
You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
Joe Musgrove.
Scraby was shook a little bit there when we had to bring up Joe calling in to terrorize him, basically.
Yes. Yes.
Had to relive that.
All-timer by Joe. After Scraby spurned all the players in the Padres clubhouse.
It was more because I was so filled with anxiety I couldn't talk to any of them. But yeah, Joe's a good dude. Very good dude.
He's a good egg, as Mudcat would say.
By the way, Mud was wearing like a sunshade or one of those hats, you know, they give away. And
the straw hat.
Yes. But he was in the shade. I don't know why he was wearing the straw hat.
Mudley, because he was rocking it.
Mudley has a unique style, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, he does have a unique style. He's great. He's great.
Uncle Mud.
Is that what you call him?
I'm going to start calling him that.
This was the biggest story.
Pulls his pants up high enough to be my uncle. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Pulls his pants up high enough. Like, oh, man.
This way.
No suspenders, just his waist.
I don't know the Mudcat will ever come on the show again after that.
Oh, he's coming on.
Biggest news of the day, never mind all the other stuff, the Washington Commanders are keeping their nickname.
Name and logo.
That's it, right there.
That's their name and logo?
No, the Commanders. They're not going back to ever going back to Redskins. They're not going back to anything else. No, there had been quite a bit of talk about it, but apparently not going to happen.
Did they realize that it would probably cost a lot of money to like do all that?
Well, I don't know that it would cost enough money to make a difference to an NFL owner, but maybe the fact that they had some success under the name Commanders this year had something to do with it.
Oh, that could be true.
They're staying the Commanders. There you go.
That could be true.
I mean, with all due respect, and we're out of time, but Redskins no good, Chiefs fine.
And the tomahawk chop for the Chiefs is fine, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy about all of
totally.
That.
Word
totally.
Scraby Chronicles up next.
I'm going to tell you why you, Darvish, needs an apology from Roki Sasaki.
You guys have fun with that. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.